Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, back to the voice of the Grizzlies and the Eric Hasseltine Show, where guests appear via the Landers Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram phone line on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
3:04 is the time. We now welcome on to the program Worldwide Wob, Rob Perez. He, of course, is the senior producer of NBA content for the Action Network. Go subscribe to the Action Network if you haven't done so. Make sure you follow Rob on Twitter at Worldwide Wob. Rob, let's start here with the news of the Athletic story about Kyrie Irving calling LeBron James with Kevin Love present in the room. How close are we to getting the whole band back together?
Oh, stop. First of all, even before we get into Kyrie, I do want to shout you out for that intro music right there.
That's
only
the producer.
NBA Street players will know. That was amazing, and I just wanted it to keep going. Now, in regards to the Kyrie thing that happened last night, like, we can't go one night in this league without something like this happening, right? So here's the deal. I have so many questions to ask, the five of which are, why did Kyrie make this public? Is LeBron okay with him making this public? Then we read the story of how LeBron saw his name pop up on his, Kyrie's name pop up on his phone. Why is he with Kevin Love? He shows it, and then he lets it go to voicemail. Did Kyrie leave a voicemail? We've got the story of what went down and what they talked about, but there are a lot of circumstances here that I need to know. There's a lot of questions that are left to be answered because those little subtleties will tell me even more that that hasn't been revealed yet. So maybe the sequel in this case will be better than the original.
Okay, so I've read this conspiracy, and I'm not a conspiracy guy, but I'm always like one hard fact away from buying into a conspiracy. I'm like, I'm skeptical in general, but when it if you present some solid evidence to me, then I can buy in. I want to know your thoughts on a scale of 0, 0, 0, 0, 0 to 10 of it for sure happened. How likely is it LeBron James was suspended rather than injured for tampering?
Oh my God, you can't be serious.
I'm just saying, I'm not ruling it out.
Oh my God, that's as close. You're talking to the X-Files of conspiracy theory, of NBA conspiracy theories over here, and that's even a stretch for me. If I'm telling you it's a stretch, I think that's a stretch. I haven't even heard it or thought of that myself.
He's never been hurt before.
It wouldn't be the first time, but oh my goodness, if there was like an inner team franchise suspension just because of what was going down with Anthony Davis, now you got me thinking, that's for sure, but I have no information.
Just saying, there were a lot of GMs, there were a lot of GMs upset, a lot of small market guys, and I don't think it's that far-fetched.
Yeah, it's...
Connor's on it today. Connor's on it today. Talking, of course, with Rob Perez of the Action Network. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Worldwide Wob. Okay, we'll get into some more from the NBA, but I want to get your perspective on what the Grizzlies should do forward, because it does feel like the large consensus opinion with the Grizzlies is blow it up. Now, the problem is this isn't like baseball where you can just blow it up, or even hockey where you can blow it up and somewhat control your own destiny. The Grizzlies are still obligated to give the Celtics a first-round pick. It's obviously top eight protected. I believe it's top six protected next year, and then I think it's top two protected the following year. So, therefore, if the Grizzlies were to try and blow it up, you don't necessarily control your destiny moving forward. If you were the Grizzlies right now, and it appears that you're more likely to finish second to last in the West than you are to make the playoffs, what do you think the right course of action for this season is?
Well, the pick protection is huge. So 1 through 8, especially in the lottery coming up this year, people forget that the odds have been, like, spaced out. Like, usually if you finish in the top 3 worst records, you have a huge chance of getting a top 4 pick. This year, they spread it out so that to deter tanking, that if you finish 1 through 8, you do have a pretty decent chance of getting a top pick. So there is incentive for those, not the worst teams in the league, but teams that are potentially thinking about blowing it up, especially if you have a pick protection in there like the Dallas Mavericks do. You have to start looking towards what's in the best interest for us moving forward. Now, in terms of the actual Grizzlies themselves, when you say the word blow it up, that to me means trade. Put every single guy on the trading block.
Yes.
I personally wouldn't trade Mike Conley, but I was watching the game the other night, and when Marc Gasol hurt his wrist, it did not look right. Like, usually players love to make the excuse when they put up an air ball, they blow in their hands, they wipe it on their jersey. Marc Gasol, like, immediately went to the wrist after he jammed it. And he went to the free throw line, immediately put up an air ball, and then he missed the second free throw as well. Then, following one of the following possessions, he gets the ball on the block, he puts up another shot, and barely hits the backboard. And then for the rest of the game, he's not even looking at the rim. So, again, this is just a personal opinion more than reporting or information. Something to me, there's something not right in that wrist from that what happened during that moment. And what happens as soon as that game is over? We start seeing these rumors about Marc Gasol being put on the trade block. Like, it's all where there's smoke, there's usually fire in this league. So if you're going to put anyone out there on the trade block, it feels like he would be first because he can pull back the biggest return. He doesn't have the huge extension, you know, that Conley does in terms of salary cap holds. And if he isn't injured, he's still an all-star level player that you could pull back some serious assets for. Do I recommend blowing it up? I don't know if we're there just yet. I would say we're getting close. And one of the reasons is when you are one of the best teams in the league in terms of opponents' points per game, which the Grizzlies are, they give up the second fewest points per game. That's 103. That's very good. But then you look at the defensive rating, which is a measure of the team's efficiency. All season, it has been on par with how many points they give up. The team's efficiency has gone from second best to seventh. So what made the Grizzlies so great to start off the season? There's a crack in the armor in terms of the defense. It's not as efficient. Even though they're still giving up the same numbers, it's not nearly as good as it was.
There seems to be a general thought amongst those that cover this team that if the Grizzlies could navigate their way to make sure that they could be done with the obligation and just give the pick to Boston if they finish ninth or wherever in the lottery, ninth or better, in the lottery, give the pick to Boston, that would be goal number one. Do you think that's the prudent decision?
Oh, man. They're really stuck in a spot right now. I'm trying to, like, they need to pick a direction.
Yeah.
It's not that the season's going to end, but if you do want to keep that protected pick, you're going to have to start losing some games here pretty fast. The Suns, the Hawks, they got a big head start on you in terms of getting those top picks when it comes to next year's draft. So is it a prudent decision? I don't know, but if I'm in the front office of the Grizzlies, there's no one on this roster that if they come back or if they get better, things are going to change. You know, they've been overachieving all year. They made the trades for Holiday. They signed the Joakim Noahs. They've told us that Chandler Parsons is done with the team. I don't know how many more moves they can make before it's checkmate.
Yeah, I mean, I think that seems to be one of the biggest apprehensions amongst the fan base. It's, okay, well, if you do blow it up, why does this front office get the opportunity to try and rebuild it? Because they kind of got their do-over again this year, and it's clearly not working again. They're stuck in this identity crisis in which the reverting back to the whole grit and grind, the defensive mentality, it worked for a while. And then once the scouting report got out on the Grizzlies, once the toll of the season started to rear its head, and then, of course, with some injuries, it just doesn't work. And so, I don't know, man. Like, to me, it's just, I don't know if there is a good answer other than, man, this thing just seems like a mess.
I think there's one solution here that we can all agree on. And it's that Jaren Jackson Jr. should be playing 40 minutes a game. No more of this. Put him on the bench and let the veterans try and get you these gritty close wins. Just let that kid go. It's until he drops, pretty much. There's no reason not to. He is the future of the franchise. He's the youngest kid in the NBA, I believe, younger than Kevin Knox. Let him out there and play as much as possible. Only good things can happen, especially if your ultimate goal is to rebuild. So that's a start. Let's get Triple J out there, start as much as possible in the crunch time. Let's see how he performs in the spotlight. And from there, what are your assets? Marc Gasol, I would say, is still an asset. Mike Conley is still an asset, despite the salary cap holds. You're trying to get rid of Parsons. Do you stretch him and you waive him? Or can you find someone to attach a Marc Gasol with? But now we're talking like ridiculous amounts of salary that you're going to have to take back as well. If you're going to blow it up, the goal is to always bring back expiring contracts so that you can start over. But here's the problem. With the summer of 2019 coming, everybody's a seller right now. Unless your name is the Warriors, Celtics, Raptors, Rockets. There's about six teams that are in the market for someone like a Garrett Temple. Somebody out there looking for a Kyle Anderson. And the Grizzlies need to charge a surplus for that because there simply aren't just – it is buyer's first demand. Seller, right? It's just like,
yes.
I feel like I'm in an economics class.
No, but I mean, I know some people can say, okay, well, that's like too complicated. But at the end of the day, this is a business. And so it makes sense that it becomes an economics class.
Yeah, and they're in this crazy weird spot because they do have that long talent that they can just run out there and change gears and become this list build for next year. But we haven't seen a commitment to that because they're stuck with these huge veteran deals. They need to kind of just make their decision. I don't know if there is a wrong one because I wouldn't blame them to keep playing and let's see if we can make one last push for the playoffs. We've got these guys on the roster. They're at their peaks in their careers. Let's give it another month. That's not a terrible decision. They just kind of need to commit to what they're going to do for the rest of the season right now.
Do you think Jaren Jackson Jr.'s future, and when I say future, if you could maximize what he is as a player, do you think it's at the 4 or the 5?
That's a really good question. So with the way the NBA is headed, you want to say the 5 because there is no such thing as a true center anymore outside of Joel Embiid or like an Andre Drummond. Like it's DeAndre Jordan's of the world. They're an endangered species. What Jaren Jackson is a guy that can play positions 1 through 5. He can stretch the floor and shoot threes. I don't know if he's essentially a 4 or a 5. I think he has become, even before hitting the age of 20, he has become that 3-and-D guy that can play outside the paint or inside, and that's a rare breed.
Talking, of course, with Rob Perez of the Action Network. Make sure you subscribe to the Action Network. Go follow Rob on Twitter, @WorldwideWob. Okay, then I wanted to get your thoughts on Boogie Cousins' comments that the Warriors are the most hated team in sports. Do you find that to be true?
The Patriots would like a word. The Yankees would like a word. If part of being the most hated team in sports is saying we're the most hated team in sports. So
right.
Check the first box there. And there's a lot to think of with him coming back as well. So if he wants to put on this villain role, that's completely fine. And I want to say there's good, there's bad, and there's the ugly with DeMarcus Cousins' return. We know him as the all-star that was with the Kings, the Pelicans, this dominant low-post guy that can get you a bucket, a grown man bucket, from the block. That's something that the Warriors have never had. But with that, he's not a pace and space guy. He plays 18 feet from the rim with his back face to the hoop. That doesn't really fit. And then you've got the ugly part of it, which is the Boogie. We have the super emotional, volatile DeMarcus Cousins that has even gotten into altercations with the likes of Kevin Durant and Draymond Green. What happens when it hits the fan inside that locker room? It feels like he's the only one that could take down the Warriors franchise is from within. I personally don't think that's going to happen because he's playing for his career and he's playing for that Supermax contract that he missed out on. But a really good start of joining the Warriors is saying we're the villains.
We saw last night Milwaukee up close in person. In terms of where they are in the East, where do you think they stack up as a contender?
I mean, they're up. If they're not at the top, they're right there with the Raptors. And it's like, poor Jason Kidd. Like, this is the same Bucks team that has been there for quite some time, besides the addition of Brook Lopez, to his credit, has become like an elite three-point shooter out of nowhere. So let's just say Brook Lopez was on that Jason Kidd team. What all Bucks fans were preaching and yelling to the heavens about was get people out of the paint. It's clogging everything up for Giannis. And Budenholzer comes from the school of Popovich, the four out, one in. And he's got this tight basketball titan that if I can get him a ball in space, there's not a mortal soul on this planet that can stop him. So the fact that they've been able to utilize all of what makes the Bucks great, Budenholzer sees the vision and he's actually executing it, is what makes them scary, is we're finally seeing them at their full potential. And there's not many better check.
Which team in the East do you think would present the biggest problem for the Warriors?
I think the answer there is the Raptors. Yeah. They showed us, you know, the times they played them during the regular season. They just have length. And if there's one thing that bothers jump shooters, it's going to be length, because you can make up for a defensive assignment, for just getting beat off the dribble, usually when you're really long. And between Siakam, between Kawhi Leonard, between Van Vliet, OG, CJ, they just have an arsenal of guys that just keep coming and coming and coming. It's like a scene out of 300 where the Persians keep storming the gates. I swear the Raptors have 15 guys on that bench they can just keep coming with. And while the Raptors have this, you know, you think of them as, well, it's the Raptors. They're going to choke at some point. It really is a different Raptors team. I know they lost last night on national TV, but they've proven to us already at this point in the season that they're ready for trench warfare.
How close do you think the Celtics are to being the team that many expected them coming into the season?
Last night helped a lot. So they came off that stretch with Kyrie is complaining about not getting a ball, and he's going at Stevens, and Gordon Hayward are getting into it. They needed a nationally televised game against a equal competitor at home to rally the troops. It was a war cry game last night. And when Kyrie Irving is walking across half court with his jersey untucked to get the untucked Kyrie supervillain, and he's just launching bombs from 30 feet away, you can draw up whatever play you want, Brad Stevens. I'm putting this ball up and it's going in. You remember who I am? When you get one of those games, right, that just rally the troops together, I think the X's and O's and the fundamentals and the coaching staff meshing with all of these stars and the Celtics is going to come together because of that game last night.
Talking, of course, with Rob Perez, the senior NBA producer over at the Action Network. Go follow him on Twitter, at Worldwide Wob. And then how do you put into words what we're seeing from James Harden right now?
Putting into words is difficult. I feel like we say this every time I'm on the show, but if you are in the conversation of Wilt Chamberlain on or off the court, you're doing something really good.
Amen.
yeah, you're putting up numbers regardless. Just
mind-boggling numbers. Numbers that some people would question in general.
yeah, precisely. But listen, at this point, we know what Harden is. Like, he's just an offensive juggernaut who can bend the rules as far as they can go without breaking. That was a real disappointing loss for him, for sure. You can't blow an 11-point lead in the final minute, despite what Harden was doing. But at some point, it has to stop. It has to, because he's not Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's not this, again, physical titan of basketball that's 6'11" and just runs for three straight hours. CP3 is going to come back and start eating into that usage. So I would say just about Harden, cherish it, even though you want to hate it. It's like you hate the villain for a reason.
Sure.
Because they're there. But when they're gone, you miss it. So let's just enjoy this Harden explosion. Okay.
No, I mean, for me, it's the same idea. It's almost like why I kind of still want to see the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Like, I like the idea of, like, to me, I thought Philadelphia's championship last year meant more because it was against the Patriots rather than against the Jaguars, who probably had a better defense. Like, to me, like, you need the villain. Like, you and I are old-school wrestling fans. Like, you need the heel. Like, it just makes the story better. All right, quickly, two more topics with you before I let you go. You've been very gracious with your time. Sticking in the state of Texas, what the heck is going on with Dennis Smith Jr. and the Mavs?
This is a weird one. Like, there's a different injury for him every night. So it was an illness was the last game. Before it, that something was sore. Are we getting into the general soreness category here? Because we know what happens when general soreness gets dropped.
Mm-hmm.
That's Jimmy Butler thing. So does this have the smell of, does it smell like fish? Does it smell like someone's about to get traded? It smells like someone is being discussed about being traded. And the thing about Dennis Smith Jr. for me has always been, what happens if Dennis Smith Jr. loses his bunnies, his incredible bounce? He's an amazing YouTube highlight guy, right? You always see him with these crazy dunks, but What happens if he has a Derrick Rose situation? He's been battling injuries throughout his career. What happens? He's a 6'1" guy that can't play defense. Then what? Like, I think the Mavs are looking at a situation of maybe we need to sell while we still can.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. It's this. You're right. Rose is a great comparison. Like, he was just so springy, and as soon as that first knee happened, just never the same. Okay, and then lastly, just a fun topic. Are you buying Blake Griffin's excuse that he just always runs to the locker room when he ran by Steve Ballmer?
I think it's good PR, and he does that routine. It was a combination of all. This is on Steve Ballmer, in my opinion. You don't do that. There is etiquette, unwritten rules of basketball. If you are an opposing team in a revenge game, you don't go over there before the game while they're warming up. Look at what Kawhi did with all the guys on the Spurs that he hasn't talked to in a year. As soon as the game was over, he walked over there. He hugged Pop, shook the hands of everyone else. That didn't happen before the game when he's getting ready for war. It happened after. So that's on Steve Ballmer. And do I buy Blake's excuse? Probably not, because he's got some PR guy in his ear. But ultimately, that's the battle that takes place in the world that is NBA Twitter.
Who could have ever thought a man that made his fortune in computer technology might not understand the unwritten rules of basketball? I, for one, never saw that coming. Rob, you're the best. We appreciate your time, my man.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.